Mike Scioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
On Twitter, at Rich Scioli. I appreciate you being here right now. We got this. We got the dock workers strike, where we're about to see possibly shortages for, I don't know, toilet paper. We could be going through all that again, where we're dealing with the toilet paper shortages that we had. So we're trying to figure all this out. And I'm telling you right now, as much as I can tell you with everything that I believe in my heart, this country is it's a mess. I mean, it's a mess right now. And I know that there are people who are hoping and praying that Donald Trump can get in there very, very soon. I just really don't know. Is Joe Biden alive? I mean, I know he's physically alive, but is he alive? Like, is he able to deal with this situation? And if not him, then who is? Who is dealing with this? Who is in charge right now? Who's in charge of our government? I hope there are smart people in charge, because it's not Biden, obviously. And then Kamala Harris does a fugazi thing at FEMA where she sits at the head of the table where they try to make her look presidential. And she doesn't look presidential because she's not presidential. And that was a fugazi. And she didn't take any questions. She didn't take any questions. So, I mean, you know, she just sat there and then trying to use our taxpayer dollars to make her look presidential in the situation of dealing with this hurricane response. So it's like the world is at a moment right now where I think everybody is very, very nervous. Israel is vowing a significant response. Is this going to be the start of World War III? I don't know. We got a lot of military craft down there. We got a lot of boats, a lot of ships. We got a lot of military personnel down there. And this is the largest missile attack that Iran has ever launched against Israel. And they used hypersonic missiles against Israel, or at least Iran is claiming that they did. So all of that is happening right now. And we're looking at this and going, how does this happen? How does this happen? I'm telling you, this is really, really, really scary stuff to me. I mean, it's scary stuff. And I'm of the mindset right now that we got to figure out if the 25th Amendment needs to be invoked in the president. And mind you, I don't want it to be. Okay, I don't want it to be invoked on President Biden, because I think the reality is that this guy making Kamala Harris president only helps, I think, Kamala Harris. But I'm very worried about our country right now. I'm very worried about our country, and I'm very worried about the state of the world. By the way, I'm wearing my Phillies blue. If you're streaming on YouTube and join us on the YouTube stream, I'm wearing my Phillies powder blue in honor of Pete Rose, who was a legend and should have been in the Baseball Hall of Fame. And should be in the Baseball Hall of Fame, and maybe posthumously he will. And there's going to be a lot of prop bets on whether or not he will be in the Baseball Hall of Fame, because it's ridiculous that a lifetime ban. I mean, we love Pete Rose in this town. And he was great. And it's just a damn shame that he's never gotten the respect he deserved. When every freaking commercial you hear now, when you watch a game, is a sports betting site, a sports betting app in some way, shape, or form. You know what I mean? But that guy still had a lifetime ban on baseball. It's like, stop already, stop. But the parlay bets on when Pete Rose will get into the Hall of Fame, that's going to be a lot of fun. And he deserves to be. And so if we get it posthumously, fine. I'm very psyched that last night I came home and Patrick told me he has a Pete Rose baseball card. I thought he did. I'm psyched. It's a Pete Rose Phillies baseball card. Yeah, don't try to break into my house, because unlike Kamala Harris, I really will shoot you dead. Just saying. Like, she doesn't mean that. I really do mean that. And you can trust me on that. You can believe me on that, because I am a gun owner. I don't believe she is. But anyway, I digress. We are at a very, very scary situation right now in the world. Here is Jake Sullivan, who is the Pentagon hack, proud of the actions that we've taken to protect and defend Israel. You remember what Joe Biden said to Iran, which Kamala Harris said as well? One word, don't. Don't. Turns out Iran didn't listen. Maybe they don't like contractions. I don't know. But they didn't pay attention to it. Here's Jake Sullivan, cut 20.
Thank you, Jake. In April, after Iran struck Israel, the U.S. issued a number of sanctions as a consequence. This morning, the president said there would be severe consequences if Iran carried out this attack. What are those consequences, and are they more severe than sanctions?
Totally legitimate question, and that answer will come based on the conversations and consultations we have with our Israeli counterparts. It's too soon for me to stand before you today and give you an answer. What I can tell you is this. We are proud of the actions that we've taken alongside Israel to protect and defend Israel. We have made clear that there will be consequences, severe consequences for this attack, and we will work with Israel to make that the case.
It's kind of like the red line, isn't it? You know, don't cross the red line, and Israel kind of crossed the red, Iran kind of crossed the red line here. Doesn't it remind you of that in some way? Reminds me of that in a big, big way. And I don't think Iran cares. I don't think Iran's worried. You know, the best way to deal with crazy people like Iran, for example, Trump is speaking right now. Can we jump in here? He's speaking after Iran has attacked Israel. I want to hear what he has to say on this.
Virginia and a couple of other places got a little hit, but in particular these places, and Georgia was hit very, very hard. But I want to thank Elon Musk for responding to my request.
Actually, they're about to switch over to the Pentagon. We're going to take the Pentagon briefing as well here. I want to hear what the Pentagon has to say. That's going to happen any second. I'm a few seconds ahead of you guys. Here we go.
Post tabs on what former President Trump is saying, but the Pentagon is now briefing. Let's hear what our Pentagon has to say about this. Let's watch.
U.S. Navy destroyers deployed to the Middle East region supported the defense of Israel by firing approximately a dozen interceptors against the incoming Iranian missiles. Initial reports indicate that Israel was able to intercept the majority of incoming missiles and that there was minimal damage on the ground, but I'd refer you to Israel for confirmation and any questions on that as they're in a better position to discuss. Please note that we're still assessing the attack and the outcome, so numbers may change as we receive updates. Additionally, no U.S. personnel were injured or harmed during the Iranian missile attack. Secretary Austin, Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General C.Q. Brown Jr., and U.S. Central Command Commander General Eric Kurilla have been in constant contact with President Biden and Vice President Harris throughout the day to consult on the situation and U.S. actions. In addition to his phone call earlier this morning with Israeli Minister of Defense Gallant prior to the Iranian attack, Secretary Austin spoke to the minister again just a short while ago to get an update. He reaffirmed the United States' ironclad commitment to the defense of Israel and underscored that the U.S. remains well-postured throughout the Middle East region to protect U.S. forces and defend Israel in the face of threats from Iran and Iran-backed terrorist organizations.
This is Major General Pat Ryder.
We'll provide a readout of that call as soon as possible. To be crystal clear, as Secretary Austin has said, should Iran, its partners, or its proxies use this moment to target American personnel or interests in the region, the United States will take every necessary measure to defend our people. And separately, I do have an update to provide on DOD support to Hurricane Helene response efforts, but I'll provide that at the end. With that, I'm happy to take your questions. We'll start with AP. Tara.
Thanks, General Ryder. What Navy destroyers were involved in helping shoot down an intercept? And given this escalation, what's being communicated between Secretary Austin and Minister Gallant right now in terms of tampering things down and potentially avoiding a wider war?
So the two Navy destroyers involved were the USS Bulkley and the USS Cole. In terms of the conversations between Secretary Austin and Minister Gallant, you know, I won't get into the private discussions other than to say we are consulting closely with them on next steps and the continued defense of Israel.
And then are there any plans underway to conduct a NEO given the increased risk of a wider war?
Right now, there has been no order to evacuate. As you've heard us say before, we are a planning organization, so we, of course, plan for all contingencies. But as of right now, State Department has not called for an evacuation. Jennifer.
Should we assume that the SM-3s were used by the Cole and the Bulkley to shoot down the or to intercept the missiles?
I'm not going to get into the specific type of ordnance, Jennifer, other than to say again, they fired a dozen interceptors.
And Iran said that they gave a heads up to the U.S. and to Russia. How much warning were you given by Iran?
Yeah, I'm not aware of any pre-warning by Iran about their potential attack. As you know, this is something we've been following very closely for a while. based on the threats of retaliation by Iran. And so we've been closely consulting with Israel for a while now to be prepared in the eventuality. And as today demonstrated, we were prepared and we were able to successfully work alongside Israel to defend them from this attack. Let me go to Carla.
Thanks, Pat. You said that the destroyers shot down Iranian missiles. Where did they come from? Were they all from inside Iran, or was some also from Yemen being shot by the Houthis?
Carla, to my knowledge, and again, we're still assessing this, these were all launched from Iran, ballistic missiles. And what I said was that they fired.
This is Major General Pat Ryder, Pentagon press secretary, talking about the United States' role in intercepting missiles from Iran.
Assets involved in this defense?
Of course, we have a lot of capability in the region, a lot of things that are there to be prepared for a wide variety of threats. But in terms of the launching of these interceptors, it was those two destroyers.
So just being clear, no ground-based interceptors were used in this.
Correct.
Were the any? Were you aware of any duds that didn't fire off that maybe Iran wanted to fire more than the roughly 200?
As I mentioned, you know, we're still assessing the outcome of the attack, and so we'll have much more information later. But these are all, you know, our initial reports.
And then on the second call with the Secretary and Minister Gallant, did he urge Israel not to respond or to moderate any response to Iran, or did Israel share, did Gallant share any of Israeli intentions for their potential response here?
Well, again, as I'm sure you can appreciate, I'm just not going to be able to get into the details of their call, other than to say, again, we're consulting closely about next steps and the continued defense of Israel.
What does Secretary Austin think about the potential for an Israeli response here? Would he urge them, without saying what he said in the call necessarily, but what are his feelings about the potential? Would he urge them restraint or?
Well, look, you know, if you take a step back here, we fully support Israel's right to defend itself. You just saw a very significant ballistic missile attack by Iran against Israel. And so, you know, we'll continue to work alongside them to support their defense. We, of course, do not want to see a wider regional conflict. You've heard us say that many times, and we'll continue to work towards that end. But we also fully understand the fact that this was a significant attack by Iran. And so we're going to continue to consult closely, and we're going to continue to support their defense. Let me go to Laura.
Thank you. Just a couple of clarifications. So you say that the U.S. destroyers had intercepted or shot down the missiles, or just that they fired?
I said that they fired approximately a dozen interceptors against the incoming Iranian missiles.
Right. And were there any U.S. aircraft that shot interceptors at Iranian missiles?
What I've read out is what participated in the defense of Israel.
Okay. And then, sorry, just one more. Can you say if there were any drones or cruise missiles that were involved in the Iranian attack?
Again, still assessing it right now. It appears it was ballistic missiles, no drones. But again, we'll continue to assess. Let me go to Joseph, and then we'll come here.
Thank you. Just want to turn to the Israeli invasion in Lebanon. For the past couple of months, the department and the secretary have called for de-escalation. You guys have voiced your opposition to any ground incursion, invasions, limited operations. After we found out that the Israeli strike last week killed the Hezbollah chief, Hassan Nasrallah, it seems like the tone changed. From the statements last night, the department and the secretary said they supported what Israel is doing. So what changed for a change in that tone and that stance from the department?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing, Joseph, is we fully support Israel's right to defend itself against Hezbollah. As we understand it, they will be conducting limited operations to destroy Hezbollah infrastructure that's arrayed along the border there that could be used to threaten Israeli citizens. And so we're continuing to consult with the Israelis to better understand how they intend to go forward. Obviously, I'd refer you to them to talk or ask questions about, you know, details regarding those operations.
All right, so we can jump out of this. This is the Pentagon press secretary. I think we got the gist of it here. Trump just put out a new ad. Boy, talk about the perfect timing of this, right? Perfect timing. And by the way, sorry for the YouTube glitches. We should be good to go now, streaming on YouTube. But I want to play this ad for you. Trump just put it out a short time ago. I think it matters to people. I really do. This whole idea that we're at the precipice of World War III, and this is what's been happening with this administration. And we're also on the precipice now of a major economic catastrophe potentially with this dock worker strike. It's not getting the attention because of the hurricane and now because of Israel, but these dock workers are not backing down. These longshoremen, I got a bunch of audio for you from Harold Daggett, the president of the Longshoremen's Union. These guys are not messing around. They're prepared to grind the economy to a halt. And a lot of people, it's funny, people are saying that they're like economic terrorists. And a lot of people on the left are accusing them of being in cahoots with Trump. And being in cahoots with Trump and then trying to grind the economy to a halt. So we'll figure this out, believe me. But this is a new ad from Trump that just came out a short time ago. Take a listen.
Like us, China also saw their weakness. So did Putin. Then he invaded Ukraine. Hamas saw Harris' anti-Israel statements and will use it as a green light to keep murdering Israelis. And Iran thinks Harris is so incompetent, new intel shows they're trying to help Harris win the election. America doesn't need another TikTok performer. We need the strength that will protect us.
I'm Donald J. Trump, and I approve this message.
Yeah, Donald J. Trump, and it's a good one. I mean, that's a solid ad right there from Trump. Because nobody wants to see the world on fire. Nobody. Nobody wants to see the world on fire right now. And that's what we're dealing with. And it's scary. You know, it's a scary situation to be in. It's a scary situation to be in at this moment in time. I don't like it. You don't like it. Nobody likes it. And now think about people that are thinking about the holidays are coming. They hear these longshoremen talk about a potential economic slowdown. And let me play that audio for you. These guys are not messing around here. This is the president of the dock workers from Maine to Texas, Harold Daggett. All right. The first time this has happened since 1977. So what this guy had to say, cut five.
These people today don't know what a strike is.
Right.
When my men hit the streets from Maine to Texas, every single port will lock down. You know what's going to happen? I'll tell you. First week, be all over the news every night, boom, boom. Second week, guys who sell cars can't sell cars because the cars ain't coming in off the ships. They get laid off. Third week, malls start closing down. They can't get the goods from China. They can't sell clothes. They can't do this. Everything in the United States comes on a ship. They go out of business. Construction workers get laid off because the materials aren't coming in. The steel's not coming in. The lumber's not coming in. They lose their job. Everybody's hating the longshoremen now because now they realize how important our jobs are. Now I have the president screaming at me. I'm putting a Taft Hartley on you. Go ahead. Taft Hartley means I have to go back to work for 90 days. That's a cooling off period. Do you think when I go back for 90 days, those men are going to go to work on that pier? It's going to cost the money, the company's money, to pay their salaries. Well, they went from 30 moves an hour maybe to 8. They're going to be like this. Who's going to win here in the long run? You're better off sitting down, and let's get a contract, and let's move on with this world. And in today's world, I'll cripple you. I will cripple you, and you have no idea what that means. Nobody
this
does.
This guy's not messing around here. I'll cripple you. And I think people are going to be very worried about this within the next couple of days. I don't know, maybe you've seen it. Have you seen it already, or have you seen people start panic buying between this and what's happening in Israel right now? Are we about to go through a toilet paper scare? Are we about to deal with that again? Have you started stocking up? Have you started doing that in your day to day? Because I was even saying to Bridget today, I'm like, we probably got to do a paper towel run at Costco at some point. Any paper towels? I don't know if they're going to be affected by this or not, but these are all headaches that I don't think would be happening right now if Trump were president. I just don't think they'd be happening. I really don't. I know he had COVID, but that was not. That was preventable. It was very preventable if we had not allowed Fauci and his minions to fund the virus and create it in a lab and then for it to escape the lab. But, you know, beyond that, it was unpreventable. About 60% of containerized trade moves through the East Coast and Gulf Coast ports, where the International Longshoremen's Association dock workers last year unloaded about $588 billion worth of imports. JP Morgan equity analysts estimate a port strike would cost the U.S. economy between $3.8 billion and $4.5 billion a day, some of which would be recovered once normal operations resume. Is this guy an economic terrorist in your mind? A lot of these longshoremen, by the way, they're Trump supporters. These guys back Trump, which is why a lot of people are saying, oh, this is a scam. They want to grind the economy to a halt, make it miserable to help Trump win. I don't think that's what's happening here, but I do think Trump is going to benefit from all of this chaos. I'm not saying I want any of this. I'm just analyzing it for you, and I think he's going to benefit from all this chaos. I mean, this is insane right now what's happening. This is utter madness. And at any point now, it could get worse. Like at any moment now, it could get worse. I'm in the kitchen today making chicken soup, and all of a sudden I hear that Iran is attacking Israel and launching missiles into Israel. You know what I mean? It's at any moment, maybe before 7 o'clock tonight, we could be in a much more dangerous situation for the United States of America, because we have a president who has pudding for a brain. You are what you eat. Sorry, but it's true. And a vice president who has no understanding of how to handle these things. And all she can do is a photo op. Oh, and that's what she did. She sat there with the cameras flashing and did a photo op today. All right, let me take a break. Kash Patel is going to join us. I'm very excited. It's a perfect day to talk to him. He was in the Defense Department under President Trump, so that'll be good. Dr. Victoria Coates is going to join us later today as well. So, as usual, as the news breaks in Afternoon Drive, we attempt to bring you the experts who can break it down for us and help make sense of all this, and we move very, very quickly. So all that's going to happen for us as we continue. But Kash Patel next, former chief of staff to the Secretary of Defense and author of the book Government of Gangsters, The Deep State, The Truth, and The Battle for Our Democracy, straight ahead.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Yeah, that Doc guy, Daggett, sounds like a mob boss, right? Does he not? The jerseyest thing you've ever heard, you know? Like, hey, not for nothing. I'm going to destroy the economy. If you don't like it, eh. It's a mess. It's a friggin' mess. But, of course, I think if Trump were president, he would have been working with these guys and working with the docs. And I just don't think we'd be in this situation. I don't think we'd be in the situation now. So it's a perfect opportunity to welcome back to the show Kash Patel. Kash Patel was the former chief of staff to the Secretary of Defense. He's author of a must-read book, Government Gangsters, The Deep State, The Truth, and The Battle for Our Democracy. And he joins us now. Kash, thanks for making time today in Philadelphia. Appreciate it. How are you?
Of course, Pennsylvania is more important than ever now, so happy to be with y'all.
What do you make, first of all, of the breaking news regarding Iran and Israel?
Well, unfortunately, it's another cataclysmic disaster that was brought about the world stage by the intentional failure of the Harris-Biden regime to stop the Iranian terror propagation in the first place. They're the ones that gave Iran $7 billion in a pathway to nuclear bomb. They're the ones that bent the knee to the mullahs in Tehran. And what did Jake Sullivan do a year ago? Said the Middle East was quieter than ever before. And a week later, they launched a war. And a year to date later, they launched the most invasive missile attack into Israel in modern history. All of that would have been preventable had we had a commander-in-chief who could take on America's adversaries.
Do you see this escalating beyond this, Kash? I mean, you were in the Department of Defense, and obviously we don't have a president. We have no idea where the president is. Kamala Harris is an empty suit. Do you see Iran seizing this moment now? Is this going to get worse?
Unfortunately, I think it has gotten pretty bad. We're in a world war. We've got thousands of innocents that have been killed and murdered in the last year in the Iran-Israel war itself. We have Americans and other international citizens taken hostage and held hostage to this date. We've got constant missile attacks. We've got constant gunfighting. And Israel has been left to defend themselves, which is something they wouldn't have done under Trump administration. They would have come to us and we would have teamed up when they took on took out the likes of Hassan Nasrallah, the number one terrorist for the Hezbollah regime. And we would have been prepared with them and our allies to take on any response. But right now, it's a one-man defense operation in Israel. And anyone castigating Israel and Benjamin Netanyahu for coming to the defense of his people, just ask yourself the question, if your country were under attack by the largest terrorist regime in the world, what would you want your leadership to do? And it's certainly not what Harris and Biden have been doing for us.
You know, the 700 plus deep state hacks that all signed that letter endorsing Kamala Harris, right, who all work in the defense industrial complex or they're on boards and they're lobbyists. I mean, these are the people that benefit. They profit off of this stuff. And it's very obvious why they want her in the White House.
No, absolutely. Look, Ike Eisenhower warned us about the defense industrial complex 60 years ago and the creep that you would, if you allowed it to, it would take over D.C., and it has. And they do a lot of good in the defense industrial complex, but there's also a lot of weaponization of government, and they own a lot of government. They care about putting their people back into power and getting the government contracts that fund their companies and fund their richness at the expense of our men and women going to fight another man's war. They're doing it in the Ukraine, and now they're doing it in Israel and Iran, and the war machine is happier than ever. Look no further than the importation of the Harris regime of Zelensky to Pennsylvania to sign American-made bombs that are going to be shipped over to bomb people in the Ukraine. I'd love to know the total number of defense contracts those 740 geniuses have in terms of how many billions of dollars are pouring into their companies. I didn't see that in their letters to indicate us how much bias they have in it.
I mean, you've been all over this. I'll give Eisenhower credit, but I'll give Cash Patel credit, too. You wrote about this stuff. I mean, you wrote about this, these cabals of people that make money off of this and push these agendas. And it's scary because they have a lot of power. Mm-hmm. And I don't think any of us realize just what they're capable of doing.
No, that's just it. I mean, the lobbyist industry combined with these people, they have taken over Washington, D.C. They have taken over the radical left wing and even some rhinos. I mean, look at the Cheney dynasty class. They were built. Their Halliburton industry was built on the lie that they perpetrated to the world about WMDs in Iraq, and they continue to profit off the warmongering class today. And Donald Trump exposed that corruption. And yes, I talk about in Government Gangsters, the book, and I talk about how to defeat it. But at the end of the day, if and when we, until we elect a president who takes that industry head on, their corruption is going to continue. And worst of all, innocent civilians are going to be killed around the world in another man's war. And we are just waiting for another Afghanistan to happen all over again. And we can't afford that, not just treasure-wise, but blood-wise.
I think if Trump had supported the Iraq invasion, they would have been fine with him being president. They would have probably helped get him into the White House instead of trying to stop him at every turn and undermine his presidency. But that's the problem, right? No new wars in 4 years. And that's exactly why they don't want him going back in. It's so obvious. I mean, Putin invades Ukraine when Trump's out of the White House. It's so obvious. Anyone can see this. And yet, for some reason right now, if you're not on board with this never-ending war in Ukraine and the billions and billions of dollars we keep spending when there's no plan whatsoever, no idea, you're somehow the bad guy. You're anti-democracy. It's insane to me.
Well, yeah, just look at the response from the Harris-Biden regime. They've done nothing. And Russia and Putin have publicly declared their support for Harris and Biden. And Putin wasn't kidding. And the Iranian regime, what did? They hacked the Trump campaign and successfully sent information to the Biden-Harris camp. Our adversaries want Donald Trump to be defeated. Xi Jinping and the Chinese Communist Party have done the exact same thing through their cyber warfare programs against Americans, through their illegal data mining of our people's and our citizenry's data. And that is not going to stop. If you want to talk about election interference, Zelensky signing bombs and flying around a government, U.S. government planes around America, essentially campaigning for Harris, is election interference. All of these figures want Harris to win because all of these figures have taken advantage of them and have rich their own pockets at the expense of America and the expense of our border and at the expense of our future generations. And Trump is the only one standing in their way.
Cash, the governor of Pennsylvania, Josh Shapiro, was signing the missiles next to Zelensky. Bob Casey, who's running for re-election, as you know, was there too. Uh-huh. This was a shameless, cheap campaign stunt. And you know, you scream about election interference, they impeach Trump over a friggin' phone call, and they got this guy now, you know, doing campaign stops with Casey for Senate. I mean, it's insane to me what's happening right now.
Well, he's also on American soil taking jabs at our great Senator J.D. Vance, who's our vice presidential candidate. It's straight up election interference by a foreign leader. And it's not as if we're doing that elsewhere around the country. But Biden and Harris are inviting them all here at the U.N. and elsewhere and giving them rides in our planes and giving them the biggest megaphone in the world, essentially to campaign for them. Like, look, of course, there's no phone calls from Biden and Harris going after these world leaders saying, hey, you got to vote for us. But it is the D.C. wink and nod that's going on there, basically saying if we get a four more years, you get whatever you want and we'll give America away. We'll continue to give America away. And the Biden-Harris regime doesn't care about everyday Americans. They don't care about sealing the border. They don't care about illegal immigrants coming across in millions and killing and raping our citizenry. What they care about is the swamp in Washington, D.C., the same thing those 740 signatories to that Defense National Letter care about themselves, their ego, their titles, and their bank accounts.
Are you shocked by how little the media has covered the actual number of missing children in this country, missing migrant children, the number of criminals who have been convicted, not even just accused, but convicted and then released back onto the streets, and the total overall numbers of illegal immigrants in this country? I mean, the silence on this is deafening, Kash Patel.
They're in on it. The mainstream media is not just quiet by accident. They're in on it because they want Kamala Harris to win because they hate Donald Trump. And they don't actually have a good reason for doing it other than that they personally might dislike him. But he's exposed their corruption.
Yeah.
They are in bed with the FBI, the DOJ, the DOD, and everybody else propagating more disinformation campaigns to rig yet another election, whether it's 51 Intel Letter or this new boat of 741 guys. They're going to keep coming at us until we stop them. And of course, they're not going to talk about the 15,000 convicted murderers that Harris and Biden have led in, the 19,000 convicted rapists. There's only 3,000 counties in America. Do you know how many convicted felony murderer and rapists that is per county? That's disgusting. If President Trump allowed that to happen on his watch, the media would be all over it. But we got to push out their hypocrisy. We got to show that they are in bed with the Washington, D.C. swamp class. And we got to show America that the only person willing to take them on and took them on in the first place is DJT.
Did you see recently, I'm sure you did, the poll that showed how Republican voters, and by the way, for the first time now, more people identify as Republican than Democrat, and Republican registration in Pennsylvania has been killing it, which is great, but how Republicans don't trust the three-letter, four-letter agencies, whether it's the CDC, the FDA, the FBI, Homeland Security, Secret Service, and the Democrats give all these federal agencies high marks. They love big government. I'd say one of the things I loved best was when Trump came out and said, for every new regulation, you're going to have to cut 10. I like that. Let's do that. That's good.
Hey, it is good because we want smaller government. The only people that want bigger government are the ones that are in bed with big government, like the mainstream media and the corrupt actors in the defense industrial complex. We want a government that actually is accountable to the people in itself. We want internal accountability. And Donald Trump didn't bring about Russiagate. Donald Trump didn't cause 51 intelligence officers to lie to the world. Donald Trump didn't lie and create a two-tier system of justice that Merrick Garland used to unlawfully prosecute him and unlawfully acquit Joe Biden. And Donald Trump didn't create the system of injustice that gave Hunter Biden a pass initially. That was all the doing of the deep bureaucratic swamp class, the Uniparty in Washington, D.C. He just exposed it all. And that's why they hate him, because if he comes back, he's going to finish the job of exposing their corruption. And finally, we will start holding some of them accountable. The longstanding pallbearers of justice in Washington, D.C., who have lit our Constitution on fire. Hopefully we can have some accountability inwards in government, but we got to win first.
All right, real quick, last question for you. I know you got to run, but the report on the assassination attempts, I still have a ton of questions. How about you?
Oh, yeah. We need to get to the bottom of it. And it's not an accident that President Trump was taken, was shot in the head and then almost assassinated yet again. The Secret Service, just another three-letter agency whose leadership has weaponized it for political advantage, has a lot of questions to answer. They failed to secure President Trump's safety. And it's not a coincidence that Iran is in the middle of all of it. And this regime continues to bend the knee to Iran and fund their war machine and their terrorist efforts. It must end. And only Donald Trump can do it.
Get the book. It's a must read. I'm telling you, Government Gangsters, the Deep State, the Truth, and the Battle for Our Democracy. Kash Patel, really appreciate it, man. Hope to come back on the show soon. It's great catching up with you.
Thanks so much. And check out the movie, too, Government Gangsters at warroom.film, just released.
Beautiful. I love movies better than reading books. We'll do it. Thanks, Kash.
Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right, so Israel is saying we'll prove our attack capabilities. This situation is heating up before our very, very eyes. We'll talk to Dr. Victoria Coates later in the show about this as well. Find out where all this goes. And there's going to be, obviously, a lot of people commenting on this. You know, Lindsey Graham is already saying we should be attacking Iran. I mean, no surprise there. A shocker, right? We'll see how this goes. And clearly, by the time the show envelops or develops throughout the afternoon, there's going to be a lot of changes here, I would say. No question about it. All right, 855-839-1210 on Twitter, at Rich Zeoli, if you would like to join in. Rain, it's coming. Winter is coming. Do you have water in your backyard? Do you have standing water problems? Listen, Garden State Earthworks will solve those water problems for you, just like they did for my home. Got to call my buddy Lou Vargo. He's the man. He'll take great care of you. So we moved into our new home, and it was a freaking swamp in the backyard. I'm not kidding. Lou came over and his guys drained the water away once and for all. It's good. We've never had another problem. Backyard's great. Kids play there. You know, mosquitoes breed in standing water. And then, of course, as winter comes, that water freezes and thaws and freezes and thaws and causes you all kinds of problems, very expensive headaches. Garden State Earthworks is your drainage solution. 856-848-4444. 856-848-4444. Easy to remember. Or go to GardenStateEarthworks.com. GardenStateEarthworks.com. Lou's a great guy. The work is guaranteed. And he did it for me in two different houses, because the first house we had a wet basement. I know, I have as much luck with homes as I do with health issues, right? But we had a wet basement, and Lou drained that water away, and the basement was dry. Never had another drop of water in that basement again. So call him today. 856-848-4444. GardenStateEarthworks.com.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Oh, CNN's at it again. Exposing Tim Walz. Exposing Tim Walz for lying about being in China and Tiananmen Square. He's been in China a lot. Absolutely. But lying about Tiananmen Square. There's also a lot we got to talk about right now regarding what's going on with ballots in Philadelphia, in Arizona. We have a lot of this going on. Shenanigans. We're up to shenanigans again. In Philadelphia, people are getting their ballots mailed to them with the outer secrecy envelopes already sealed shut. No surprise. No surprise there, right? I know. I'm shocked. You're shocked. We're all shocked by this. We're all shocked by this. By the way, Jake Sullivan, the National Security Advisor, was asked a question about, you know, should Iran have the or should Israel respond? Should Israel respond? And he didn't really answer that question. He kind of dodged that question. He kind of danced around it a little bit, as I'm sure that you would guess. But Israel is saying there will be consequences, no question about it. And tonight is the vice presidential debate between J.D. Vance and Donald Trump. Trump just spoke a short time ago. We're going to grab some audio for you. But he said it. He said the world right now is spiraling out of control. The war is raging on. And if I were president, none of this would have happened. None of this would be happening right now. He said, if I were in charge, today's attack on Israel never would have happened. If I win, peace in the world again, and if Kamala gets four more years, the world goes up in smoke. That's what he said. So we'll grab some of that audio for you. He's doing a rally right now. And then we got hundreds of thousands of people in Arizona who should not have been given a ballot because they never checked to see if they're U.S. citizens. And this isn't one of those wacky conspiracy theories, okay? ABC 15 Arizona, number of Arizona voters who potentially received wrong ballots climbs to 218,000. These are people who the state of Arizona, despite state law, never checked to see if they are United States citizens. That's right. So Arizona law required registrants who provided documentation to receive full ballots and those who did not provide documentation to receive federal only ballots. According to the law, a driver's license issued after blah, 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 blah. Bottom line is they never check these people for citizenship. So we don't know how many people who are illegal immigrants in Arizona or non-citizens could have a ballot. Now, the spin from Arizona Governor Katie Hobbs is, well, there's more Republicans than Democrats. I don't buy that spin. I don't buy that spin at all. Not even close. I don't buy that spin. I think that that spin is pure and utter BS. So then the story from a lot of people out in Arizona, and they're asking the question, they're going, well, how can we resolve this by Election Day? You're talking about 218,000 people who may have gotten a ballot to vote, who should not be able to get a ballot. They should not be able to, because we don't know if they're citizens or not. And they may already have the ballot. What the hell do you do? How do you do it with a month to go? So the shenanigans are everywhere. And in Philly, same old thing. So this is what the Philadelphia Board of Elections or whatever said to do. If you get your ballot, your mail-in ballot, and the outer secrecy envelope is already sealed shut, open it up and then scotch tape it closed after you put your ballot in it. I kid you not. Because, you know, nothing says secure like scotch tape. Nothing. There's no way to break scotch tape and then put a new ballot in that secrecy envelope. No way. So you're good. It's going to be fine. Just fine. That's what they literally said to do. They said, take the secrecy envelope, cut it open, and then put your ballot in it, and then scotch tape it shut, and then mail it back. Yeah. Yeah. I know it's as idiotic as it sounds, because it's idiotic. And all I keep thinking in my mind is scotch tape is like the easiest thing to get rid of. And you could go, I don't know. I mean, this ballot, the tape was kind of loose, kind of not loose. I don't know. I'm just saying, I don't think this tape was so good. So maybe this ballot here, oops, fell out. What are you going to do? Damn shame. I don't know. All right, ahead of the debate tonight between J.D. Vance and Tim Walz, more of Tim Walz's BS stories coming out, falsely claiming to have been in China during Tiananmen Square. The Israel Security Council meets after the Iran attacks, and we'll see what the United States response is. And Trump speaks and says the world is on the precipice of catastrophe. We got a lot to chat about. So big 4 o'clock hour straight ahead. We're streaming live on YouTube. Don't go away.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.